translation and purport. The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The inexperienced Brahmin boy certainly knew that the king asked for water from his father, and the father did not respond. He tried to explain away his father's inhospitality in an impertinent manner, befitting an uncultured boy. He was not at all sorry for the king's not being well received. On the contrary, he justified the wrong act in a way characteristic of the Brahmanas of Kali Yuga. He compared the king to a watchdog, and so it was wrong for the king to enter the home of a Brahmana and ask for water from the same pot. The dog is certainly reared by its master, but that does not mean that the dog shall claim to dine and drink from the same pot. This mentality of false prestige is the cause of downfall of the perfect social order. And we can see that in the beginning, it was started by the inexperienced son of a Brahmana. As the dog is never allowed to enter within the room and hearth, although it is reared by the master. Similarly, according to Sringi, the king had no right to enter the house of Shamikrishi. According to the boy's opinion, the king was on the wrong side and not his father, and thus he justified his silent father.
श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितमेन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत्पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विश्वभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपा सिंधु भये च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवम्। वर्स वंस मोर ब्राह्मणे क्षत्रबंधुर् गृहपालो निरूपितः स कथं तद्गृहे स्वास्थः सभान्नं भोक्तुम् अर्हति।
The descendants of the kingly orders are definitely designated as watchdogs, and they must keep themselves at the door. On what grounds can dogs enter the house and claim to dine with the master on the same plate? So just to put the context to the subject matter here, Maharaj Parikshit has already met the personality of Kali. And having received Kali in his kingdom, Maharaj Parikshit gave him 4 places to live. So now Kali is expanding his influence. So those 4 places given to Kali were gold. So all the 4 regulative principles, where 4 regulative principles are broken, those are the places Maharaj Parikshit gave to Kali. But then he also gave him to live in a place where there is gold. So Kali immediately took the opportunity to reside on the crown of Maharaj Parikshit. So for a moment, Maharaj Parikshit's intelligence was thus bewildered. So just before this, Maharaj Parikshit has subdued Kali. But in 17th chapter, you studied that how the great king ruled the kingdoms in such a way that Kali's influence was almost minimal. In fact, the description is Vrishasya Nashtan Trin Padan Tapas Shocham Dayamiti Prati Sandadhat Ashwasya Mahim Cha Samuvardhaya. So Kali had broken 3 legs of the bull, signifying religion. So in 17th chapter, you have gone through the dialogue between Maharaj Parikshit, Kali, and the bull, which is an indication of religion. Satya, Soch, Daya, Tap. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercifulness, mercy, and austerity. So these are the 4 principles of religion. Kali had already destroyed 3 legs or 3 principles of religion. Namely, Shauch, Daya, and Tap. So cleanliness, mercy, and austerity. Those 3 legs were destroyed by Kali. The 3 legs of religion, or dharma, the bull, were destroyed by Kali. But Maharaj Parikshit ruled the kingdom in such a way that dharma had regained his 3 legs, meaning that Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom was full of mercy, truthfulness, austerity, and cleanliness. In other words, Kali's influence was very minimum in Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom. So here was a chance for Kali, the personality of Kali, to influence Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom by bewildering the intelligence of a very powerful Brahmana warrior. So just before this, Maharaj Parikshit has gone for hunting Mrigaya, and in the forest he felt very fatigued, thirsty, and tired. So he was looking for water, reservoir. Having not found any water nearby, he saw a cottage of a sage, great sage called Shamik Muni. So he went there for water, and because Muni was this. Shamik Muni was sitting in trance. He was completely absorbed in trance. He could not detect that the emperor Parikshit had come. Similar incidents have happened in the past. This was not fault of the Muni, and certainly it was not fault of Maharaj Parikshit that he became a little angry. So we find that in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 8th canto, you would read, there was a king in South India. He went to the forest, and while he was sitting in trance, he had Agats Muni visiting his cottage, along with his disciples. So Agats Muni is very powerful, extremely powerful sage. He is known for drinking the ocean, so powerful. Although in his height, he is very small, but in his power, is oceanic, in fact, higher than oceanic, you can say. He drank the ocean, entire ocean, to help the demigods. So Agats Muni went, and he wasn't received by this king. So he cursed him. He said, "You are sitting like an elephant, pretending to be meditating. So I curse you to become an elephant, king of elephant." So this king later on becomes Gajendra, the king of elephant. And Agast Muni was telling this story to Maharaj, to Shukdev Goswami. And Avaracharya has explained that he was touching the deities and saying that, "Look, I did not curse this king out of envy. I really thought that he was pretending." The king wasn't pretending. He was sitting in trance and he was cursed to become an elephant. But later on, when the king asked for forgiveness, he said, "The Lord will come. Lord Vishnu will come and he will deliver you." So that way, we find that in 8th canto, Gajendra, he was not just thinking, he was not just elephant, he was a great king, a pious king. And when he was in difficulty, he remembered this Gajendra Stuti, very nice prayer. Emam Bivsita Buddhya Smadhaya Manuhridi Jaja Paramam Japam Prag Janu Prag Jami Anukirtam. So this Gajendra had remembered a prayer in his previous life, mean when he was a king. So here, Shamik Muni is sitting in his trance. Maharaj Parikshit goes there and he is not received. So then he returns back to his kingdom. So while he is returning back, he sees the dead serpent. And momentarily, Maharaj Parikshit becomes overpowered by a little anger and to some extent envy. So he takes the serpent and puts like a garland on the neck of the sage. So his son, Sringi Rishi, has heard this story, this incident. And Sringi was playing with his friends. When he heard that king had insulted his great father by putting a dead snake like a garland, he becomes very angry. And in his anger, this is what he's saying here. So what we are reading today are the statements of Sringi Rishi, uttered in anger against Maharaj Parikshit. Tasya putro ati tejasvi viharan balku arvakai ragyagham prapitam tatam shrutva tatra idam abravit. So here Sringi has been described as ati tejasvi, extremely powerful. So this is the second verse he is uttering in anger, calling Maharaj Parikshit as a watchdog, and justifying the actions of his father. These four varnas and ashramas, they are created by Krishna himself. Chaturvarnam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha. Tasya kartaram api mam. So, chaturvarnam maya srishtam, Krishna is saying. Guna karma vibhagasha. So, according to guna and karma, according to qualities and activities, these four varnas and ashramas are created by Krishna. So Krishna is saying, maya srishtam. Srishtam means created. But he is not saying janma karma vibhagasa. These varnas and ashramas are not created according to birth and activities. He is clearly saying here, guna karma vibhagasa, according to qualities and activities. Then in the 18th chapter, the Lord is giving more vivid descriptions, more clear descriptions of these four varnas and ashramas. Yata pravitra bhutana. So according to one's nature, a person performs a certain activities. So in Bhagavad Gita, we find very scientific description of varnas and ashramas. Now this caste system has become so infamous in modern day that people put down Sanatana Dharma as caste system. And they decry it, they really make Sanatana Dharma look like this is concocted, and this is simply very political in terms of who rules. So there is a whole campaign that has been for years and years against Brahman class of people. And some of the slogans that the political parties are citing are despicable. They're really, really very painful to hear against Brahman class of people. So there has been political agenda against Sanatana Dharma, particularly Brahman class of people. And here we see what happened. 5,000 years ago, there was a discrepancy. Kali, personified, wanted to enter the kingdom of Maharaj Parikshit. He was unable to. So he entered Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom, entered through this inexperienced but extremely powerful Brahman boy. So here we say that the Lord is describing four varnas and ashrama in more detail in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. But before that, he says, Natadasti pratibhyamva divideveshu vapunah sattam prakriti jayar muktih muktam yadevi saptvir gunah. There's no being existing either here or among the demigods in the higher planetary system which is freed from the three modes of material nature. So four varnas and ashramas have been described in terms of three modes of material nature in Bhagavad Gita. And we find a more elaborate description of varnashram system in Uddhava Gita, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam by Krishna himself. So this system is very scientific. According to the position in the modes of nature, a person is qualified to become a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or a Shudra. So let's just take a couple of verses that prove that. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Sudraram Cha Parantap Karmani Pravibhaktani Svabhav Pravir Gunahi. So this is very clear in Bhagavad Gita. The Lord says, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are distinguished by their qualities of work. Same thing, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. O chastiser of the enemy, in accordance with the modes of nature. So, what about Brahmanas? How are the Brahmanas situated? They are situated in the mode of goodness predominantly. Because these modes are fluctuating. So no one can say that they are complete in the mode of goodness, or mode of passion, or mode of ignorance. These modes are mixed. They are fluctuating. Shamo dhamas tapah shocham, shantir arjame vicha, jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma sabhavajam. These are qualities of a Brahmana. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiousness. These are the qualities by which the Brahmanas work. These are qualities, not the birth. Shauryam tejo dhrityadaksham yiddhe chapi palayanam danam nishwar bhavascha kshatram karma sabhavaj. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the qualities of work for the kshatriyas. Krishigovar rakshubanijyam vashyukarma subhavajam parcharyatmikam karma shudrasyapi subhavajam. Farming, cow protection, and business are the qualities of work for the vashyas. And for the shudras, there is labor and service to others. Now, more importantly, the Lord is saying in text 45 of chapter 18, Sve Sve Karmani Abhirata Sansiddhim Labhite Naraha So Karma Nirataha Siddhim Yatha Vindati Tachhanu. This is very important. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. So the Lord is saying that these four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, they can become, all of them can become perfect. As long as they remain situated in their quality and they act according to their Varna. So this is the science behind Varnashram system. Similarly, Ashram, Brahmachari, Kshatriya, Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. So this is a very scientific system to elevate living entities from lower modes of nature, namely a mode of ignorance, passion, to the higher modes of sattva, goodness, and vishuddha sattva. So what are we following then in ISKCON? Are we following Varnashram system or Devi Varnashram system? Because Mahaprabhu's philosophy is surpassing the so-called Varnashram system. When Ramananda Rai put forward to Mahaprabhu that following Varnashram system and offering everything for the pleasure of Vishnu, Krishna, that is the perfection of life, Mahaprabhu rejected it. So if Mahaprabhu has rejected Varnashram system, and what are we following? See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his teachings has made it very clear that devotional service surpasses the class division of society. So we find that in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Haridas Thakur has been celebrated, established as Namachai. Then we find Ramananda Rai, who also came from a Shudra class. He becomes the most intimate associate of the Lord. Six Goswamis, so leaders of six Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, who had worked in the government of Nawab Hussain Shah, they become the leaders of Goswamis. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has accommodated the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. And because Varnas and Ashramas, these Varnas are according to the qualities and modes of nature. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the method of worship which surpasses the effect of a Varnashram system. But at the same time, we hear that Prabhupada wanted a Varnashram system to be established. So Prabhupada said that 50% of his work is incomplete. He wanted to establish Varnashram system. So remaining in Varnashram system, acting according to our situation in the modes of nature and our qualities, our inherent nature, we can all progress to the ultimate aim of devotional service, which is Prema Pumartho Mahan. So we are in a society, excuse me, that is structurally follows the Varnashram system. But our philosophical goals are to go beyond the Varnashram system. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham Vipro, Naham Narpati. I'm not a Brahmana. I'm not a Kshatriya. I'm not a Vaishya. I'm not a Shudra. Then, who are you? Mahaprabhu says, Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamlayor Das Dasanu Dasha. That I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamlayor. Of the servant who worships Gopi Bhartu Pad Kamlayor. The lotus feet of the maintainer of the gopis, Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is telling his identity as the servant and servant and servant. Prabhupada said 1,000 times, servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, who is the maintainer of the gopis. So philosophically speaking, our goal is to become the servant of Krishna, no matter which varna and ashrama we are situated in. But from a structure point of view and from social point of view, we follow whichever varna and ashrama our qualities qualify us to be in. For example, the explanation Prabhupada has given is very befitting. No matter where you go in the society, you would find an intellectual class of people. No matter where you go in the society, in the countries, you would find a ruler class of people. No matter where you go in the society, you would find a business class of people. And similarly, no matter where you go in the world, in the society, in whichever country, you would find a labor class of people. Some 56 years ago, or some 70 years ago, after the World War II, British people didn't want to do work with their hands, which means they needed laborers. Many people died in the World War II. So after World War II, there was scarcity of people here in the country, in England, Britain. So they invited people, they let people come from various countries. Many countries came here. And initially people who came here in 1960s or 70s even, they were working in factory jobs or working with their hands predominantly. Bus drivers, factory jobs, gardeners, cleaners. But later on, those people then progressed on to do business and contribute to other parts of the society. So we find that wherever you go in the world, you would find these four classes of people: intellectual, administrators, business people, businessmen, and lower class people. So this is very scientific. Now, Krishna consciousness is not constrained. Krishna consciousness allows people to go beyond the Varnashram system, although remaining according to our Varnashram ashrama and contributing to the society. But it allows people to go beyond Varnashram system, because this is based on the identity which goes beyond the body. So Varnashram system is only up to the point when we recognize ourselves, identify ourselves with the body. But Krishna conscious philosophy, it starts with the notion that you are not this body. Asochyan anusochistam pragyavadansh bhasase gatasun agatasun nanusochanti pannataha. The second chapter, 11th verse of Bhagavad Gita, it starts by distinguishing that you are not this body. So Krishna conscious philosophy very nicely situates us so we can peacefully live in the society, but also aim to achieve the ultimate perfection of life, which is beyond the Varnashram system. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initially rejected Varnashram system, or that the ultimate goal of life is to remain in Varnashram system and worship Lord Vishnu. So Mahaprabhu philosophically recommended that our goal is to go beyond Varnashram system. But in order to remain peacefully in the society, we follow the Varnashram system. So here we see that Sringi Rishi is insulting Maharaj Parikshit, because Maharaj Parikshit, being a Kshatriya, had dared to go to his father's ashram to ask for water. And Sringi thinks that as a Kshatriya, Maharaj Parikshit is simply like a watchdog of Brahmana. So in the Varnashram system, the position of a Brahmana is the highest. We find the description in Srimad Bhagavatam that Brahmanas are considered to be the head of the universal form of the Lord. Kshatriyas, his hand. And Vaishyas, his abdomen. And Shudras, his legs or feet. So that way, when Brahmanas are situated on the top of the order. The Sringi is literally taking this as his identity. So he thinks that Maharaj Parikshit did wrong by going to his father's ashram and asking for water. Just like a dog is not allowed to go inside the house, inside the kitchen. In modern day, this is not the case. Actually, dog is the first person to remain in the kitchen. So that's not the case in modern society. Dog is the best friend of man. So if you calculate, there are millions of dogs. In England, there are at least so. They were saying millions of cats, millions of dogs. So dog keeping is a modern day phenomenon. And that has become very popular in nowadays all societies. You can see very, very powerful people like British Prime Minister walking his dog. You can also see extremely powerful people like the president of a country walking their dogs. So this is a modern phenomenon. So people may argue that why in your scriptures dog is considered so low, whereas in the modern society, dog is the best friend of man. And that's why you see the heads of states. They may be very, very powerful people, but in the morning or evening, they take pride to walk their dog. Walking a dog is good exercise, and also they show responsible behavior. So in this scripture, we find that dogs are considered household animals, but at least they're not taken to kitchen. We find that in Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, descriptions are that Maharaj Parikshit had all sorts of household animals. They were kept. They were not freely allowed to go to the temple room or kitchen. So there were many, many household animals, including dogs. They were very well kept in their places. But in modern society, that's not the case. So here we see, and some people may feel that these scriptures are actually placing dog as a low animal. But that's not the case, because they were kept. The household animal were kept, but they were not allowed in the temple room or in the kitchen. So Sringi is saying that how come this watchdog, King Parikshit, who is simply mere Kshatriya, dare to come my father's house, my father's cottage, and ask for water? How can he do this? And this is the downfall of Varnasam system. But very powerful, Ati Tejasvi, extremely powerful Brahman boy, is insulting Maharaj Kshatriya, Maharaj Parikshit. Now I just want to spend a couple of minutes to speak how Maharaj Parikshit had taken this curse. Just like when Mother Parvati cursed Chitraketu, who by the blessings of Lord Sankarsana had become very powerful, Vidyadhar. And he was flying in the aeroplane, mystic aeroplane. So while flying, he saw Lord Shiva seated amongst the sages and doing Krishna Katha. He was speaking spiritual discourses, and many great sages were listening to him. But the scene was very strange, because on the lap of Lord Shiva, Mother Parvati was seated. So Chitraketu misunderstood this scene. Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the greatest Vaishnava. And many great sages like Four Kumaras, Narad Muni, they all go and listen Krishna Katha from him. Chitraketu misunderstood. He started laughing at Lord Shiva. So he offended Lord Shiva, and Mother Parvati became angry. So she cursed him to become a demon. Having been cursed by Mother Parvati, Chitraketu came down from his aeroplane and he asked for forgiveness from Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. So Lord Shiva is appreciating the nature of Chitraketu. And he is saying, look, you just cursed him to become a demon. But look at him. He has taken it very positively. He offered his obeisances. He asked for forgiveness. This is how the devotees of Lord Narayan are. Narayan Parayan. Because he is Narayan Parayan. He is a devotee, completely devoted to Lord Narayan Krishna. So for him, Narayan Parayan, Apitulyarth Darshana. So for him, heaven or hell does not matter, as long as he remains Krishna conscious. So Chitraketu in his next life becomes Vritrasura, and he is very Krishna conscious. He is fighting Indra. And while fighting Indra, at one point, Indra becomes defeated. So Chitraketu, Vritrasura, is preaching to Indra, Indra, lift your vajra, your weapon, and kill me. So if Vritrasura wanted, he could have swallowed up Indra. He was so powerful. But he was very, very Krishna conscious, because he was a devotee in his previous life, and even as a demon, he was a devotee in the demon body. So he took it very positively. Similarly, Maharaj Parikshit, having been cursed by this Brahmana boy, Sringi, he has taken it very positively. Sudh Goswami reminds the sages in Namisharam. He says, Sutta Vachi, Yuvai Droni Yastra Viplusto, Namati Rudre Mrtaha, Anugrahad Bhagavataha, Krishnasya Adbhut Karmanaha. So Sudh Goswami is reminding the sages that look, this is same Parikshit who was shot with Brahmastra when he was in the womb of his mother. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his mercy, saved him. Krishna's Adbhut Karmana. So by this amazing mercy, amazing feat of the Lord Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he was saved. Now, same Parikshit, Brahma Kopottitat Vyastu, Takshukat Prana Viplavat, Nasam Moho, Ubhayat, Bhagavati Arpit Ashraya. Now, having been cursed by this Brahmana boy, that Takshak will come, the snake bird, and bite him to death. Because of his full Krishna consciousness, he is neither overwhelmed nor he is in fear. So that is the quality of a devotee. Maravi Rakhavi Jo Chatu Mahar Nitya Dasa Prati Tuhar Adhikar. My dear Lord, whether you save me or you kill me, you have complete right over your servant. Vinod Thakur says, Sampade Vipade Jivane Marane. So this is the mentality of a devotee, that whether it's happiness or distress, life or death, the devotee simply wants to remain dependent on the mercy of the Lord. So Maharaj Parikshit saw this as Krishna's mercy. Our Acharyas explained that Maharaj Parikshit's action of putting his dead snake on Shamik Muni was unprecedented. Abhutpurvam, abhutpurvam. Means he had never done anything like that. This was unprecedented. But because it was inspired by the divine will, providence, Krishna's will, so this happened so that Maharaj Parikshit could renounce the kingdom and meet Sri Sukadeva Goswami and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, just like his grandfather Arjuna was put in dilemma so that he could inquire from the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna the secrets of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and the Lord would speak the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So this was Krishna's divine will. So in summary, we see here that Sringi, who is affected by the personality of Kali, influence of Kali, he could not see the greatness of Maharaj Parikshit and insulted him, cursed him to die within 7 days, and through Shringi, the Brahmin class of people fell down. And because Brahmin class of people fell down, the society also became topsy-turvy. So now we can see that society is in turmoil because there's no system. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to bring Vanasam system, to bring so that it becomes more peaceful to perform devotional service. Okay, so now we just have 5 more minutes left. I just want to say a couple of things about Takshak. This Takshak, Nag, or the serpent word, he was very angry with Arjuna. Because during Khandavaprastha forest, when Arjuna was burning Khandavaprastha forest, his wife was living there and she was pregnant. So Arjuna was burning this forest and his wife wanted to leave. They are snake birds. So she wanted to leave the forest and Arjuna saw it. So he shot an arrow to this snake bird, Takshika's wife. And she was pregnant at that time. So she burned. Now she got burnt in that fire, but she gave birth to a son. And his name was Ashwasen. So Ashwasen came in the Mahabharata. There is a description that Ashwasen, very powerful a snake, came to help Karna so that he could go on his arrow and kill Arjuna. So when Karna shot an arrow, the Lord saw it. That Ashwasen, his fire, a fierce snake was coming to kill Arjuna on Karna's arrow. So Krishna immediately put weight on the chariot. And that way, Karna's arrow could not shoot Arjuna's head. So Takshak had some enmity from Pandav family, particularly Arjuna. And Maharaj Parikshit happened to be the grandson of Arjuna. So Takshak was already angry and he wanted to kill the dynasty, just like his family was put in distress. So he wanted to do this. So that way, by will of providence, the curse happened from Brahmana's boy. But Maharaj Parikshit took full opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. Hare Krishna. So we will finish here. We have just a couple of minutes for maybe 1 or 2 question or comment.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. That was wonderful. Wonderful explanations on how Kali finally got his influence in this Kali Yuga, how it entered into Maharaj Parikshit's kingdom. And then you went on to explain the Varnashram system and how actually Mahaprabhu rejected that, just broad Varnashram, but specifically wanted to have Daivi Varnashram also to support bhakti in its essential, as the essential point. So we don't have a question as yet. So I would actually like you to explain a little bit more the explicit difference between Varnashram and Daivi Varnashram. Because as devotees, we often speak about Varnashram kind of looking down upon it because Mahaprabhu rejected it. And then we only say, yeah, but Daivi Varnashram, we want that. But for me, it's not really clear. What is the actual difference? Like, if you can summarize it really quickly. In both Varnashram, the traditional one, the goal is to satisfy Vishnu, right? So that seems to be quite okay. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit.
Thank you, Prabhu. This is a very important question. The difference between Varnashram and Daivi Varnashram. So Varnashram is only there, already Devi Varnashram, because when Krishna says that he created it, so it is Devi Varnashram. Not only once, he claims in Bhagavad Gita, then he explained to Uddhava, Varnashram system has been explained very vividly in Srimad Bhagavatam, in 11th canto. So he explains to Uddhava. So that means it is already transcendental, our system, Devi Varnashram. As devotees, we prefer Devi Varnashram because Varnashram system is explained very materialistic terms in the society. So you are born as a Brahmana, you remain as a Brahmana, you act as a Brahmana. But in practice, this is not the case. Just like I was studying in a city, prominent city in India, Kanpur. And there you would see that many of the meat stalls were owned by Brahmanas, meat stalls, selling pig meat. This is very, very precarious. And shamelessly advertising as Sharma meat store. This is very precarious. This is very sad. But on the other hand, you see that there are many families in India who have been following very strictly, and they're still following strictly. I met one pujari in Balaji temple in Birmingham. So outside of India, the biggest Balaji temple is in Birmingham, in England. So many people come to Birmingham. I met one pujari who worships Lord Balaji. And he told me that in their family, they have a tradition that if there are two sons in the family, at least one must become a qualified Brahmana and devote his life for study of scriptures, study of the Vedas, scriptures, and serve. And one person may have to just earn money and take some technical education, become doctor, engineer, or software engineer, or teacher, or whatever. So there are still families like that. Okay, so coming back to your question, what's the difference? Actually speaking, the difference is very superficial. But because the way it is understood in modern society, then as devotees, we take trouble to explain that Varnashram system is meant to become Krishna conscious, live peaceful life, and become Krishna conscious. So Deva Varnashram is to remind people that ultimate aim is to become Krishna conscious. Ultimate aim is not to remain Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, but become Krishna conscious. So this is how I understand. And when Krishna is explaining Varnashram system, he always reminds us of the goal. Just like in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we just read out earlier on, we explained that Krishna reminds us of the goal. And in Srimad Bhagavatam again, the Lord reminds us of the goal, that the goal is to achieve Him. So because the goal is to achieve Him, that's called Deva Varnashram. And when Varnashram system is explained in materialistic terms, then it is simply Varnashram, just like it is known in the modern society. One example is Sankhya Yoga. So we have two kinds of Sankhya Yoga. One is atheistic Sankhya Yoga. Another is Sankhya Yoga by Lord Kapildev. What's the difference? The difference is that one Sankhya Yoga does not keep Krishna in the center, Purusha or ultimate Purusha in the center. It only explains 24 elements of material nature. Another Sankhya explained by Lord Kapila is non-different from bhakti. So then Krishna is saying, Sankhya Yoga Prithakvala Prabhadantin Panditha. That only, less intelligent, or you can say, okay, only people who are ignorant, they would say that Sankhya Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are different. Because they are same. So Krishna is saying they are same. So Lord Kapila is explaining Sankhya Yoga, and that Sankhya Yoga is non-different from Bhakti Yoga. So similarly, one ashram system, when explained in terms of a Krishna consciousness, the goal in the center, it's a Daiva one ashram, transcendental, divine one ashram. When it is understood or explained in terms of a materialistic system in the society, so that is just one ashram. Does that explain, Prabhu?
Yeah, thank you very much. Very nice analogy with the Sankhya philosophy by atheistic and theistic Kapila Dev. Makes a lot of sense. So basically, it's just, actually, if I can try to share my understanding. So Varnashram before, like originally it's Daivi Varnashram, but then it got kind of perverted and the common understanding became that actually it's just by birth and it's just materially speaking. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to put the re-emphasis on Devi, just saying what it was before already, before it became perverted. And in that way, it's still Varnashram, but the original understanding is again there. Is that correct?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. Yeah, that's a very nice summary.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. So I think there's no more questions, so we can end here. Thank you so much, Raghupati Prabhu, for this wonderful class.